I know I didn't preface this before.
Go ahead.
But if you guys happen to have a stuffy or a teddy bear you'd be willing to use to enhance the communication and the interaction, you can go find one that you'd like to designate as a portal. The reason why I'm setting this up is that the Pleiadians that I'm good friends with want to sort of expand their friends, so to speak. I'm kind of like an individual and just one guy, and although I'm interesting to them, they're much more interested in starting the cultural exchange. And that means, you know, getting to know other people. At the same time, you know, talking about the things that people want to talk about. Now, they admit, and I'm admitting, that I may not get clear information from them. So this is not a channeling, and there's a good chance that some subjects I'll have some difficulty translating it in terms of what they're trying to say. But I'll do my best, which is all I can really do. And the other really good thing about this for me is that it's training me in receiving the telepathic communication that they're trying to share. So it's practice for me at the same time. I also want to specify that my DNA is incorporating a lot more Pleiadian DNA. So for quite a few questions you might have, I'm figuring I'll be able to answer it from the point of view that I already understand, and I won't need to do telepathic communication. And in most cases when I do that, they'll just give me like thumbs up, that's what we wanted to say. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll correct me. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, they're like crazy excited. And they've actually designated 13 people who are going to get to speak with us. Because more than that, and it'll get distracting, and it'll get into tangents and multiple opinions and thoughts. They can do group consensus, but they're also interested in you perhaps meeting them individually as well.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like to do is just start with setting the image that I'm getting. And there's sort of like this half moon lounge sunken space with couches type things all around it. It's not quite a half moon. It's like a crescent. And they're all sitting and they're facing a view screen looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that myself. I should have fixed my hair.
Can they see you?
Yeah, they can see me.
No.
And I can see them. I can change now, my point of awareness. I have a camera that follows me around in my day. It's kind of like a reality show camera that has like this chase cam. Sometimes it uses my eyes. Sometimes it's looking at me from across from me. Sometimes it does these other perspectives. And I don't get to see what this camera sees. I can just sort of sense where it is and what it's focusing on for the mm-hmm. most part. Most mm-hmm. of the time, it's really subtle, and I don't know where it is. I'm not paying attention to the Pleiadians paying attention to me all day. That would just be too distracting. So it's really quite out of the way. And it doesn't mean that people are looking through it in the moment. A lot of times, they're looking at it from a quantum space, like they're looking at recordings.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a bit difficult to explain, but right now, physically, as I can perceive it, we have 13 people in our presence, just being very patient and sitting in these chairs that are kind of like low ottomans, and several of them have their hands in their lap, and we have 6 females and 7 males. And we have, and one of them is a sort of higher master type individual in case we had questions that are on a higher plane of understanding, or a need for very deliberate, strong information to come through, because they're very good at communications. This person's name actually is also called Alma, which is really coincidental, actually.
Yeah, I don't meet too many.
Well, they also say that the name doesn't matter as much as the pattern that comes with it. So it's like saying cat or dog or dolphin. Okay? Mm-hmm. They have names, but they're not English.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little bit like Native American names, where they basically are symbolizing a lot of elements and patterns within their names. So, without more further ado, I want to start opening up the questions. Did anybody particularly want to start?
Well, I just actually wanted to say, you know, good morning, good day to all of them, and thank them for taking this next step. I think it's fantastic.
Mm. Well, they're the ones, yeah, they pretty much initiated it, and I was like, okay, they're gonna bug me until I find a way to make it happen, because right now they don't have permission to take a camera into your space.
Can we give them that permission?
We can, but take note that it involves higher being decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So there's parts of you that might say it's not part of the plan or something like that. So that's what I had to do originally, is I had to set up a contract for how that was going to work. I had to establish the lines of how that would work, you know, how far is too far, exactly what they would use the information for, all this sort of thing. It's like mm-hmm. a whole set of parameters. Because, you know, they can use it for whatever they want. It's sort of like being able to record TV. If you get access to a stream, you could just record it. But for the most part, they will abstain from that because they know it's a particular closeness and relationship that can get you into all sorts of interesting experiences. It's up to the listeners, yeah.
Yeah, what I was hoping is that the camera that's trained on you could be focused on the screen that
yes,
you're looking
they can,
at.
They can see Sherry right now.
Yeah, yeah. I think yes. the simplest way to proceed is just for us to give permission to use the images presented through you. That's a very straightforward agreement. Yeah. Just from the camera that already exists with you, if you don't mind mm-hmm. doing that. What that will mean is that, you know, if we have the opportunity to use video in this context only, that everybody is in agreement with it.
Yeah, we can do that.
They can actually see the three video streams clearly enough at their
yes, yes they can.
Okay, well that's really good, because at least there's a one-way thing going on there. We'd like to have it two ways. That would be even better, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet.
Not yet, but it's in the books.
Mm, well, that's a great thing.
But it'll be around a year from now, so. Not in the books tomorrow.
Okay.
But here's, in the books for about a year from now.
Here's the agenda, Julian. Skype is a limited product. There are software products out there that could handle this number of video streams. So we'll have a look into that later, because it would be really nice to be able to have that, you know, that.
Yeah, there's like my TinyTube.
Yeah.
It does like 10 people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it obviates the need for individual contracts if we just do it under this simple agreement that anyone that's in show, yeah. one that's in a...
Well, I might actually write up some Pleiadian contract type stuff, because now they're like, lots of people may volunteer for the exchange program.
Mm-hmm.
And they would prefer that you were at the degree where you could perceive them, so that it was two-way rather than one-way. They just... checking out your life,
mm-hmm.
because that way you can be a little bit more discerning. I mean, the contract's constantly changing. It's really just an agreement, and for me, it's constantly developing and adjusting itself for my level of comfort mostly.
Because
they, you know, at one point they're like, would you mind if we, you know, recorded your telepathic thoughts? And I'm like, yeah, I kind of mind. I kind of would mind. So at best, they get to read my aura. But
yeah, it's interesting that the whole etiquette of telepathy it raises an enormous number of issues. You know, as soon as the average individual starts to consider it, because it's so new.
And so it has its own functional boundaries that are already set in place. But when you're dealing with anonymous people that you don't have a really good level, it's like we should only be able to share as much as we're able to perceive. So no one should have a greater perception of the other is really what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. And so in conversation, I do my best to taper my auric sight when I feel that a person would be uncomfortable with my being able to perceive that. Right? So you can taper and turn that off. At the beginning, I was just like, you know, a happy dog running around getting to smell the roses and all this. Mm-hmm. But then it was like, oh, this is not okay, mm-hmm. actually. Mm. I'm like traipsing through other people's yards, you know? Mm. And I had to...
Yeah.
I felt that I had to taper that back. Yeah, I'm really kind of a newbie. Because no one's really taught me what I should know and what I shouldn't know.
So you were jumping fences and running through people's lounge rooms without realizing it.
Well, I was, you know, I can walk up to someone and I can be like, you. I can see your aura shape, Sherry, and I can see yours, Alma. And the only reason why I say that is because I have a basic feeling that you don't mind, right? Mm-hmm. But you can say, no, I'd rather not, right? See, Alma's is yellow and white. It's got a yellow circumference and down by her shoulders it looks like it gets into like a sky blue, but there's a whiter outer rim. Almost all auras, when you start practicing to look at them, they'll be white, but that's just sort of the lack of sensitivity. So as you develop, you'll be able to observe the colors. I went from like no auras to colors in less than like 2 months, actually. So and I've had it for about a month. And when I went to Shasta, that exploded. That really exploded in a really short span of time. And now I was just, you know, kid in a candy store with looking at energy and stuff. But yeah, I taper it back because it's very distracting. People start to think I'm like daydreaming.
You know? He's just walking around. Yeah. Well, Teo, I want some of that.
Yeah. And like my cheek muscles are really developing because I can't help but constantly be smiling. It's like I got like a plastered smile half the time. People are like, you're creeping me out. You know? You weren't like this before.
Yeah, what's going on there? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, anyways, Bill, that's great because I can see this working really well. This particular arrangement, particularly the sort of, you know, group talking to group, not too large. Not too many distractions.
Yeah, because they can hone in on each one of you specifically and get a good grip. I don't want to say they're reading you or doing anything like that, but just through the basic interactions, you know, and through your voice actually holds a lot of your pattern, your vocal cord system. So you're actually delivering much more than you realize when you speak. And they can read into that more deliberately. Like not only the fact that you're male or female, but your age is there, your life experience is in there, your soul age is in there, some energy is delivered as well in terms of where you are in an energy state, in terms of how much energy you have. Almost like auric information is delivered in there in terms of, you can just call it your mood for right now. But mood is understood at a broader, more specific degree when you get into the energies and stuff like that. So obviously physical communication and video take it to the next level. And for the most people, a lot of people will not understand telepathic thought or be able to perceive it at the level of specificity and detail that we use our other five senses for, because our other five senses have gone through a childhood phase of interpreting information. And it's taken months as a child for you to basically adopt your senses. And what we've done is we've lost our sixth sense attachment. So really, you can do it in a matter of months and gain a great degree of sensitivity, but also the environment doesn't support us to have those abilities right now. So it's kind of like, you know, everybody's walking around with their eyes closed, and the people who start walking around with their eyes open, it makes those with their eyes closed feel awkward around them. So that's what I mean by the environment isn't quite ready for that. So did you guys have some questions you had lined up? Because they're actually like sitting on the chairs like, you know, antsy, wanting to sort of like, stop talking, Julian.
We're having our own party. Let us in.
Yeah. Terry, did you have something you want to start with?
A question.
Or some questions?
Actually, could I have one? Just one question first, Julian. Just
okay.
Which is something that just occurred to me, was the group that we're talking to, are any members of the group ones that we've been communicating with in the past?
Eight of them. My good friends.
Okay. Good.
So they know me really well. A couple others got to draw straws, sort of equivalent to be a part of the group.
So is this the group that's taken up bike riding and has ambitions of surfing?
Eight of the eight that I've spoken with before and interacted with on a regular basis, three of them got into the excitement factor of playing with our toys.
Excellent.
Yeah. I'm assuming you all have heard my talks with them that have already been made public. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So we don't have to introduce a whole lot of new concepts here. But does everybody have like a stuffy with them in particular? Because we can develop that that telephone.
A stuffy with them?
Stuffy. Yeah.
Stuffy. Yeah, stuffy that you'd like to use as a telephone.
Oh, you mean a toy?
Like a teddy bear.
A teddy bear.
But it doesn't have to be a bear. It can be, you know, like mine is, it's a cute little purple elephant.
I've got a dog. He's not in the room at the moment, but I'm not sure he'll sit still long enough for the purpose.
And this is my other one. I actually have two. So these are so I can interact with my daughter. This is my daughter's, and this one's mine.
Hmm.
I've got a nice little kangaroo.
Cute. So if you've heard me talk about the teddy bears, we don't have to go through that again. Is everybody clear on how that works? It's actually a portal.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you empathize.
I haven't heard anything about it.
Okay, so this makes up for the lack of physical proximity. And so what you'll do is you'll treat it as if you had an opportunity to, like, hold the hand of the other individual. Because when you're able to hold someone's hand, like, you know, you and I, if we're able to hold hands, the telepathic bond is increased like 1,000 times. Okay? That's why psychics like to hold people's hands while they're looking into crystal balls or whatever. They prefer to have some touch, you know, and that's why palm reading is particularly effective, because you're going through the energy of the hands. And the hands are transmitter receivers. They're sort of like the exit and entry points for a lot of information, just like eyes. So as I hold mine and I go to sleep with mine, that's an invitation to dream together, and it's also invitation to have sort of like a heart-to-heart sharing of experiences. And if you begin doing this, you're inviting the information to telepathically connect you. And we're always receiving telepathic information, like non-physical information. And it comes through the state of our imagination easily, but because we don't sort of understand our imagination space, because it serves many, many different functions and roles, we basically need to start exercising that muscle. And this is a way that will bring very specific data to your head so that you can begin to start perceiving a little better. So that's just a little bit of telepathy, part of the telepathy 101 that I've gone through with some people. So it is a portal, which means it's a link between you and another source that matches your intention, right? So it's not like if you hold it, you're going to get, you know, the devil on the line, unless you already feel your life is in hell and he's the only person who can help you or something. But with regards to Pleiadians, they have like these giant cotton balls. They're like these glowy cotton balls. And they're demonstrating that they will use these as their physical phones. They're kind of like, I don't know if you guys know this reference, but they're kind of like Tribbles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Okay. If you've watched Star Trek, you might know the reference.
I've actually got a red shirt, Julian.
You've got a red Tribble shirt?
A red shirt. Well, it's just another Star Trek reference. Sorry about that.
Okay. Sorry.
And I dare to wear it.
Oh, you mean like...
the guy in the red shirt always gets killed in
this. Isn't that like... Well, whatever, yes.
Tempting
like
fate.
Yellow, blue, and like...
Yeah.
But you digress, Chris.
We're digressing. Let's keep on with the Tribbles.
So they know you guys have questions, so feel free to share your thoughts or your experiences or specific questions that come up. There's no question off limits. They'll just say if it's not appropriate, but they tend to do it really politely. So it's almost like, please ask, and we love being able to tell you no in the nicest way to show you that we're really quite happy that you're interested in speaking with us. So.
Well, I have a question. I was wondering if the grand sextile would bring about an awakening in the population in July.
It can. It is an optional portal. It's not a mandatory portal. So not everyone needs to experience that. So those who attune themselves to prepare for that, they'll have greater access to what that has to offer. And the grand sextile is not a game changer. It's not a societal game changer. And from the Pleiadians' point of view, they live every alignment as sacred. They don't have particular alignments that they prefer over others. All they know is that particular alignments reflect sacred geometric patterns that lead to particular energies being stronger than others, because a pattern holds energy of a certain type of organized, a certain level of organization, and it allows one to access what that brings. And so the grand sextile is specific to the six points that are involved, right? And there's trines as well, right? Those are when you have three.
Right.
And so it's a lot like they bounce and affect each other based on their alignment, sort of like if you had a pool of water and you dropped multiple drops of water into it and the ripples interacted in a specific geometric arrangement. And that is sort of, you know, how it works. Like it's based on a specific pattern of them bouncing off each other and based on their proclivity. So there's, you know, there's many ways to have sextiles, but in this particular case, it's having the energies of the six, which I'm not familiar with what all six of them are, but they will collaborate in ways that that are probably considered kind of unique because we don't go through it very often. So, and from I did an update with Chris yesterday, and I talked a little bit more about that in astrology and where I come from with that. But the Pleiadians specifically, they treat every day like it's their birthday. Like, today's the best day for me. You know, today is my day. And today, everyone treats me like a princess or a prince. And that's it. And they treat everybody like that because it's like it's everyone else's birthday today, too. That's kind of the feeling that they share with me with regards to how they treat days. Do we want to bring Terry back on? Can she access this again if she needs to? Can she join in, do you think?
She may not know how.
She dropped off a moment. Let's see. Is it hard to do that? Let me see.
Just add her back to the call.
Okay. Okay.
I'm talking here and the mute's on. If she selects a conversation, she can just hit the join call button.
There you go.
There she is.
Okay.
Yeah, here I am.
Hey.
All right.
That was weird.
So this particular alignment will be useful for those who want to access it. Let's just say that. And take note, I don't know what the six different points are and what the energies that come with that are, but you can look into those specifics. It's almost like if you get six of your friends together, what will they do together? You know, that sort of type of thing.
Hmm.
So there's a collaboration type of co-creation effect that comes from that. But it can be like, you know, radical. It might be like a mosh pit, you know, where everyone's pulling each other's hair or something. You don't know. So good, bad, ugly, it could be any of that. But I already shared what the energy looks like with Chris, and I hope we'll get that out in the next day or two, right, Chris?
I don't know. We will actually. Skype.
I'm just actually starting to upload it as we speak.
Okay.
But I did process that video, Julian, and it went from 20 gigabytes down to one. So I'll be able to send those as well.
Okay. Excellent. And then I'll play with that a little bit tonight or tomorrow or something.
Yeah.
So, okay, actually, I have a question that they're asking. Someone's putting up their hand. Let me just feel it out. Okay, so they're showing me the their version of a stuffy right now. And they recommend that we share names of each other's telephones. But if you want to come up with a name, put it in the chat. We don't have to have this on the recording. And I'll just let you know that this one stood up and is willing to share this one's telephone number / name so that anybody listening to this can access her. And the name that she's given so that other people can access is Allison. And she is actually a little girl. She's a very, very young Pleiadian girl. She'd be sort of like a six-year-old for us. But she has an adult body. In actual years, she's 30-something or something like that. But she is extremely playful. And she's just learning to make human food. And they have this whole cooking arrangement to learn how to make human food for when the visitations start to occur. They can reproduce food in their replicators, but they believe in the preparation of food as we are because it embeds their personal energy into the food. And you gain an energy exchange with the individual through that means. And she's starting she wants to share what she's making cupcakes. She thinks those will be popular. And they have cherries on top.
That is actually wonderful, Julian. That is really fantastic that they're actually recognizing the act of preparation. In fact, it gets back to the act of growing the food. If you're involved in growing your own food and preparing it, it takes it to another whole level. I'm not saying they should start up a farm.
They're responding directly to what you just said. And this little one and the 5D Alma is saying that they grow their food in a matter of minutes, actually. So they grow their plants and they offer the energy and they can grow the plant in a matter of minutes depending on their aptitude. Different ones have different aptitude. And even the fruits will grow off of that in a matter of minutes. Mm.
Is Allison growing food?
Allison is the name of the stuffy. It's not the name of the little girl.
Okay.
That is the name of the portal to reach her.
Yep. Understand.
Little girl.
Understand. Does that person have a name they wish to share with us?
She's going to call herself Enya for right now.
Enya's
good. She has a wicked long name that sounds more like a whistle. So Enya and Allison is the portal. So mm-hmm. if you speak to Allison, you'll be able to access whoever Enya is letting Allison hold Allison. Now the reason why it has a human name is because these portals, these stuffies, they have personalities. They have specific interests, but they're like an artificial intelligence that processes the data per their preference of how to do that. And so they will learn how to handle the information. Kind of hard to explain. It's a limited consciousness device.
Device, yeah. So it's an actual device we're dealing with?
It's a device, but it's an energetic device. It's not like a
technology. Yeah.
It's not crystal based.
So whoever's holding that stuffy will be the entity that you communicate with if you contact it.
Yes.
Okay. That's an important point.
It also stores communication in quantum, so that you don't have to have it live. The interaction will happen with them appropriately, because right now our telepathic communication that we have with them is heightened based on our higher being or our higher self's involvement in amplifying the communication. So one-to-one, when we meet each other, we won't require the higher being's involvement, because physical proximity improves telepathic communication. I know that sounds like an sounds opposite, but when you're within someone's auric field, you're able to communicate more easily. So right now, the higher being is the one strengthening the line. If that makes sense. Both sides, higher being. So, they've asked me this before, but they're going to ask this group. This is awkward. Let me just add Terry back. She keeps dropping, but okay. Well, I'm letting him know that this is an awkward question. And the 5D says, just go with it.
Okay. It's all right. We're all grown-ups here.
Yeah, just ask it.
Okay. I'm hoping people listening to the recordings will also be grown-ups too.
That's another question. That's unknown.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's my preface. So they really love hugging. I think you all probably already know that already.
Mm-hmm.
But they also really like kissing.
Mm-hmm.
And kissing doesn't mean anything beyond just a really good hug, right? And it's not like they, you know, kiss with tongue or whatever, but they do a tremendous amount of kissing. Yes? Terry, are you there?
Terry is.
I've got some interference here, no problem.
Okay.
Okay.
So the kissing thing is, yes, we do.
Yeah, yes, we can. We're just talking about kissing.
Okay,
Terry.
Thank you.
You might want to.
Perfect, thanks.
Tune in.
I'm not going to go there right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All good.
So what they do is they kiss not just the lips, but they'll kiss like shoulders. Mm-hmm. And that is that actually means something depending on what shoulder you're kissing, right? We use our hands a lot for hand gestures and things like this. Well, they'll do things where they kiss, and that means like a hand gesture times 10, right? Because they take each other very seriously. And their interactions are – you might observe it as like being really deliberate, like, oh, my God, you're like really in my space, and you know why you're getting so close and why are you kissing me or something like that. But for them, it's like sign language that means 10 times as much. So kissing if someone's kissing my right shoulder, so if you go up to hug and then they'll like kiss the right shoulder, that means that they are giving you the floor, that they are letting you say your mind, speak your mind, be exactly who you are. I'm not going to be offended by whatever you do. It's basically like, you know, speaking off the record.
Sorry.
Sort of effect.
Mm-hmm.
And what the more limited, less touchy-feely version of that is you have your hand. You have your left hand on the person's right shoulder. And then if you're both doing it, well, then it's mutual, right?
Julian, is this something that's practiced one-on-one?
One-on-one
conversations?
But there's lots of group ways of interacting, but it's a form of communication. It's like a super handshake. You know, the floor is open. Go for it. And but they'll kiss if they're particularly interested in you sharing. They'll kiss your shoulder if they're particularly interested in your sharing. Because they can sense that you have something to say.
So if you do that with your stuffy, then that's the reciprocation of that?
You can put your stuffy on your shoulder like this.
Yeah.
And you hold it with your left hand on your right shoulder. And that is –
Or what,
well,
if, what if I kiss the right shoulder of the stuffy?
You can do that too.
So I'm saying the same thing to – yes?
Right, yes. And right now my higher being is sending off alarms because it's concerned that this is a really strong cultural – significant moment because
no big deal.
I know it's not a big deal for us here, right here, but
right.
Going forward, these kinds of levels of communication involve being in someone's energy field, and people right now don't observe each other's energy field. Okay.
Well, some people don't.
Some people don't.
I'm going to say the majority of people at this time on Earth are not quite touchy-feely yet with each other. Now, I'm very touchy-feely with my soul family, and I'm really thankful they let me to be that way. You know, I give people back rubs all the time, hold each other's shoulders. Soul family is really ideal because they'll get it first. But in terms of, like, cultural upgrades as a group, you know, they would really like to see this environment flourish with these types of interactions. I mean, they like stroke their, you know, each other's hair. Sometimes a lot of our daily worries get stored in the hair field, and they'll just sort of like pull it off and remove and clean your hair energetically and stuff, because they'll see the mites. The mites are like little worries that are like conscious, almost conscious. And they'll do that, sort of like how baboons pick bugs out of each other's fur or something.
I was waiting for that to come up.
Yeah.
The visual I'm getting.
Exactly what I was thinking of when you said it.
That's love.
They're very touchy-feely. They'll even like do the equivalent of like take my glasses off and like sort of clean it like that, and they'll just give it back to me. They're giving me that visual. No one's actually doing that for me right now.
Now, why, Julian? Why? I mean, none of this is too extreme that it wouldn't that it would actually cause great problems, provided people were forewarned. And is that their concern, to the degree to which they need to forewarn people?
So, okay, they're really, really a lot of them slow down. They're all talking at once. Build. Yeah, make sure you got a consensus response. Okay, start from the beginning slowly. It's just sometimes a bit overwhelming when I feel them like this, because it's a big subject. It's big because it involves why they don't feel comfortable coming to Earth yet as a group. There's several that do come, but
yeah,
it's this lack of empathy that is sort of like as if we were to go live in a world with robots, right? Where the robots don't respond to us and don't understand.
Their environment is not conducive to
in the real world.
I have a question.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and they can't go back, right? It's kind of my problem right now. It's like I don't like turning it off. And I don't like being around people where I have to have it off. Right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The next point that they're bringing up with this is that when people are not familiar with the energy around each other, because there's a lot of mud sort of effect going on, a lot of muting of energies, a lot of people's energies are dampened and limited and, you know, parasites and all sorts of things like this. It's like going into an environment and having to get your hands dirty to clean off, but then the person doesn't clean themselves after and they just will just get dirty again. So they'll help us, but we don't, you know, they know that in general we don't know how to clean our space and clean ourselves of what is not supporting us. So it's like a temporary fix. And there was a time where they were saying, let's just go down there, let's just mob squad everybody and just clean them up. Let's just clean them constantly, keep them clean. They'll know what clean feels like, and then they'll want to do it. But the simulations all failed. They said that's not gonna work out. So they couldn't do that. But they decided not to do that. At least the Pleiadians. The Syrians still think it's a good idea. They want to make that clear.
Mm.
But this feeling other people is really essential to be developed as a humanity, if we're going to be ready for them to walk amongst us, which is what they actually want to do. But really, really, really do.
Yeah.
Julian, if they come and have that connection, so here's the question. When they come to some of us who are definitely ready, and if we need to, you know, learn additional tools to what we already do to keep ourselves, you know, clean, or if they've been a particularly, you know, challenging, contrastful day, you know, do some extra cleaning. That's a to me, that's a demonstration. So it's interaction and connection and a true expansive experience from, say, myself with the Palladians and back to me, but also to other people who, you know, hear, you know, other humans who can see that to understand how that goes. I mean, humans can pick up from me the joy that I am experiencing and having that. That doesn't mean that they have to say, okay, you know, bring it on to me, this other person. But if they can see that, that's an example, that's being a demonstration for them to have that. If it's always holding off and not waiting, then that doesn't serve the rest of us.
Correct. But there's a couple of the factors that I'm going to share right now. The 5Ds is wanting to share, Alma, that when you gain a perception for people's energy and someone is in abundant energy, in our society, which is relative difference to theirs, it's as if we're going around with a bunch of loose $100 bills on us, okay? Where people are just compelled to say, oh, I'll just take one, or I really like being around this person because he's got all this money, energy hanging around them and has an abundance of it. And so they attract like fireflies or like moths to a flame. People with lots of energy attract those who feel that they aren't like that person and feel that they can balance out their lack with this person's abundance, right?
Energy
without going far enough to understand why it is that way, right? And that's our natural inclination, is to be drawn to people of power. It's how celebrities function a lot of the times.
Okay, so what you're saying is that this random energy borrowing that we practice without knowing it is of concern to them?
It's of great concern to them because it's like we're constantly not asking when we borrow each other's money.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if I'm going in and just taking your wallet, taking out whatever I feel I need,
cross-wired,
and putting it back. But we're all doing it. We're all walking off with each other's cash, and we don't know it. And this environment is not good for this. It's not good for them.
Not good for them
to be around.
No.
And at the same time,
we're
actually depressed of a lot of our money. We're actually we're all broke in relativity to Pleiadian society. We have so many consensual lacks that we're okay with all being smeared with grease and, low energy effects.
Yeah.